advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast.
Please read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
How we doing this morning, ladies?
Not bad, you?
Pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good.
I'm very relaxed and mellow today is how I'm doing.
I'm all jacked up on Brazilian coffee.
Are you?
who got us this? Rex
I don't know Smith.
His last name. Rex Smith
from Brazil. He bought us two very densely sort of air compressed packages of what we guess are coffee. We could have.
Well,
been.
One was coffee. The other one.
The other one
like
might be cocaine. I don't know.
They're the same, but.
But it's El Ranchero from Brazil, and it's. I like it.
It looks like brown moon sand from an infomercial, though.
Yeah. it's actually really smooth, and I'm giving it the whiskey review. It's really smooth, and then you can really taste the undertones, you know, and the aftertaste. So
I agree.
It's good.
It's
full
strong
of
and smooth.
It's full of cat feces.
I think it's going to be highly caffeinated. I've only had a couple of drinks and I can already feel a different caffeine level than I'm used to.
That's the cocaine.
Ah, right.
So
did you look for a cocaine bag inside of the coffee, Brent?
Not
when
yet.
You brewed it? Because you might have just punctured the cocaine bag and we're drinking cocaine coffee.
It did make a hissing noise for like 10 minutes.
So today our topic is float tanks, and our guest is Dirk Bentz, who is the owner of Salt 7, which is our local float tank, the best float tank here in Bakersfield. Say hello.
Good morning. Hello.
So since we started the show, actually, we've wanted to do this. We had the idea of getting the three of us to go in and float. Brent is the only one who's ever gone into a flotation tank, also known as a sensory deprivation tank. And we wanted to go the night before the show and then come the next morning and talk about it on the show. And that's exactly what we did. So last night, which was a Saturday, we all met up at 6 o'clock and we floated for 2 hours. And then this morning, we're going to talk about our experiences.
Yep.
Are you okay with your 2 hour decision? I know you were really scared and we're going to do 1 hour.
I am. And I'm not, I'm definitely going to float again. Uh-huh. And I'm definitely going to float again for an hour.
Yeah, you're going to go down? That's backwards.
Yeah, I am. No, I am, because the I'm glad I did it for 2 hours, because A, I'm like a giant Wookiee of a human being. So it took
I wondered
me,
because the wall didn't feel that far from me. It's a big, it's what, 7 by 10?
7 by 10 by 6.
Yeah.
Right. So it took me a while to, I mean, a long while to get a place where I was both comfortable and not bumping into shit. And I don't suspect that's the case for most people, because they're not 6'5" giant Wookiees with like 6 foot. I'm 6'5" and I have a 6'8" wingspan from fingertip to fingertip.
Man, get that boxing stretch. Don't get in a fist fight with Dave. He'll touch you. You won't be able to touch him. He just holds you by your head.
But he won't eat Cheerios because it hurts bees. So
well, I won't eat honey.
That's why I said he'll hold you. He'll just hold you by the head.
Yeah.
Just hold you back.
He's a gentle giant.
So the thing is, and I know we're going to talk about our experiences like in upcoming segments on the show today, but so it took me a really, really long time. I would guess probably an hour and a half to reach a point where I was actually comfortable and I was actually at the place where I could start to really get the experience.
Oh, wow.
Well, then you need to go for 3 hours then.
Yeah.
No, because now I know how I need to be.
Oh, true.
Because I had my arms at my side and then my arms kept bumping into stuff and then it started to make my neck hurt a little bit and then my legs kept bumping into the wall. So for a while I kind of crossed my feet, but then I couldn't really get into it because my feet were touching oddly, which doesn't seem like that should make a big deal, but it did make a big deal.
That's why I was so concerned about you only doing an hour, because there's the whole, like, you get a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of claustrophobia. It's a new thing. You got to settle in. You have to take the shower. And like, once you finally settle in, it might be over.
And I never, see, I didn't get claustrophobia until way late in the experience.
Oh, like really?
When I was in there, I was totally fine. And then I know, Dirk, you had said that some people put their hands kind of behind their heads and do it. And I kept trying that, and that didn't work either. So I basically ended up just kind of having my arms sort of just above my head, like in a diamond shape.
But that's racist. So you didn't want to do that.
I was doing I was doing a Diamond Dallas Page while I was floating. But once I finally figured that, once I lifted my, like, once I got into that position, it took some pressure off my neck in a weird way, and it made me really comfortable. And then probably, I would guess, in the last like 10 minutes before the lights came on, I was finally starting to kind of lose myself and feel something. So I'm glad I did 2 hours, because that's how long it took me to figure out what I needed to do with my body and how to quit bumping into the walls and how to kind of do it. But I think I would only want to do an hour next time, because I can get into that position and I think I could hit that state pretty quickly, because I've meditated a lot in my life. I've taken meditation classes, all this stuff. So I think once I'm in there and I'm in a good position, I think I could do it. But I think I'm glad I did the 2 hours, but I won't do 2 hours next time.
You might have thought it took you an hour and a half to get comfortable, and you know, you only had a short time of that, you know, real comfortable state, but it actually might have been, it only took you 15 minutes to get comfortable and you didn't realize it.
That is a possibility, but I don't know if that's the, cause I was, based on how much my neck was hurting, I know I had to have been laying there for a while in a bad position for my neck to hurt that bad.
I don't know. What do you think?
What do you think, Dirk?
Well, usually, people float for, it takes at least 30 minutes for them to get into the experience. It's something new. It's kind of weird. So that's why we recommend at least a 2 hour float. But for me personally, I like to float for an hour, because like you said, when I get in there, I can get right into it. It takes me 5 minutes just to settle in.
You're a professional at it. Well, now. I mean, you've probably done it a few times.
Yeah, but everybody experiences that their first time. So you kind of just got to get the first one out of the way, and then you know what you like, and then you can kind of start developing from there.
Are you jaded by it in any way because you have your own float center? Like, do you take it for granted, do you think? Like,
I do, because I don't do it enough.
Right.
It's like, you know, you own a car dealership and you don't drive the cars you sell or
right,
something.
Right, right, right.
Gardner with a shaggy lawn.
Yeah, yeah. You sell Mercedes and you're driving the beat up Hyundai.
Exactly.
You know?
How often do you get to float? Like, how often do you do it yourself?
I like to float at least once a week. Mm-hmm. And I float out of necessity. You know, I'm kind of like Brent. I try and pack my life with as much stuff as possible and keep myself really busy.
Right.
You know, so I could, you know, sometimes I wake up at 3, I'm at my regular day job, you know, at 4 o'clock, I'm there till 4 or 5 o'clock. And then I have some rentals I have to take care of, or I'm down at the float center till 10. So, you know, I float sometimes out of necessity to kind of cheat and get my sleep.
Right. Because from what I've read, you can sort of get the equivalent of a couple of hours worth of sleep if you do one float session.
That yeah. might have been what my problem was last night, because I actually woke up at about 2 a.m. and then I couldn't really go back to sleep. I think I fell asleep from 5 to 5:30 or something this morning, but probably because from 6 to 8 we were doing that. And then I went home, fell asleep at 10.
Yeah, they say that you can float right before you go to sleep and it shouldn't mess up your sleep cycle.
Right.
But
I will say this. I'm an insomniac and I get horrible sleep, and I slept like a freaking baby last night. Like I got
hold on a second. The sleep like a baby phrase has got to go away, because babies don't sleep good.
Okay, I sleep like an old man. I slept like a puppy.
No, Dave woke up every 2 hours and changed his underwear and had some milk.
That's exactly what goes down.
I slept like a baby. I woke up every 45 minutes, screamed at the top of my lungs, yeah. Pissed myself,
and gave myself a bottle back to sleep. Yeah.
But no, It is a horrible analogy. I got gas on the way home, and like I was standing there at the gas pump, and I felt twice, my entire body from head to toe felt twice as good as I would have felt if I just got a massage. Like when I get out of a massage, you feel really good and your muscles are relaxed and whatever. And then like underneath it, there's kind of a lot of soreness from the tissue work that was done or whatever, but I mean, but it's only the points that the masseuse like hit. I felt that like from head to toe for hours. Like I was so, I still kind of am, like my body is just really loose right now from having just being suspended for 2 hours, like in a buoyant solution. I think it just takes all the pressures off of your body and it really made a difference.
I was just Brad.
No, I was going to say the only thing I had an issue with was when I was driving. I think I should have took a little bit of time to let my eyes kind of get back to like what was going on in the world. Because literally when I was in the tank, I couldn't if I had my eyes closed or open, I didn't know. Right. Like the only way I knew that my eyes were closed is because my brain was saying like, I'm going to close my eyes, and I would close my eyes. But there was literally no difference in light, or, you know what I mean? The darkness was the same. I have like a little white, like some sort of white,
like a floater.
Milky. Yeah. You know, it's not really a floater, but it's like a little milky line in my vision, I guess. Right. And, that was there, whether I closed my eyes or had them open. And it was like a weird,
oh, that's
like,
crazy.
Yeah. So like it was always there. So it was like, man, I don't know if my eyes are open. I don't know if they're closed. Like then you start like figuring out like, you know, I have like restless leg syndrome. Oh, I don't think I have that, but I have like some sort of like, I always have to move. Mm-hmm. Like even in bed when I'm sleeping, I'll find myself like wagging my foot.
Wagging my foot.
Yeah. Like if I'm face down, like my foot will just be like kind of just shaking. Like I'll shake my foot. Like
I would have said wag probably though.
Well, it is wagging it. You know, like it's like a dog tail.
I noticed the eyes thing though, like you're saying the open and close. What I did notice though, the difference being is when I close my eyes, I could super clearly visualize things versus when I open my eyes, they're still, even though it's only black, it was still some type of input. I think that my eyes are trying to process. So I would like try to picture something and then close my eyes and I could picture it clearly. But even though my eyes were open, and it was black in front of me. I couldn't visualize the same. I couldn't focus. So I had to really close my eyes still. And maybe that's just me, but that's what I noticed, that I could not visualize things unless my eyes were closed.
I think it is just you, because I was like feeling the trippiness a lot more when my eyes were open.
Well, I would see like Brad said, he had that milky spot in his eye. I kept having like this purple thing that would show up and it was really weird for some reason. Mm-hmm. It was like, well, I know the reason, but it was like a purple spot would start and then it would start to open up like a random shape of a hole. And I kind of saw what looked like an audience through the hole, and it would sort of just move across my field of vision. It looked like people sitting like at a Condors game or like a hockey game or something, like looking down on a crowd. I would kind of see that and it would just fade off into nothing and move on.
Yeah. It's just your brain. So,
and well, no, actually we didn't want to tell you this before, Brent, but that always happens right around you.
Really?
Yeah. We all see a purple gate open and then we see a hockey. We just didn't want to say anything because we thought it was awkward.
Yeah. And then Satan standing there looking at you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So no, I asked you before, like we started floating, because I don't know, like I know my mind and I can't get settled and I feel like I'm busy all the time. And I feel like I told you, I felt like going into this, I feel like I'm wasting 2 hours. Like I'm going to go down here. Like I have a lot of stuff going on at home. My girlfriend just had surgery. She's home with the baby on Norco's and you know, my other two kids are there, you know, like, and I'm missing time with them. Do you think that might be the wrong time to go, or maybe it was the right time to go? Like when you're just feeling like you have so much stuff going on.
If you can let go of it, I think it's the right time to go.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So cause, and that was my other thing. Like, what do people go float for? I know you said you go to kind of get your sleep, you know, you have such a hectic day. What do people go for? What are the different things that you've heard that they, you know, come and visit you and go in the tanks for?
So athletes come in to float for recovery. So if you do like a hard workout, it's really good for your muscles to just completely relax. A lot of artists, musicians, painters, they come in and they create and design. I'm not an artist, so I can't really speak to that. But I do like to invent and think of business ideas. And so when I get in there, it just depends. If I want to rest, I'll just slow my thoughts down and try and control them where they're not just randomly coming into my head. And I'll just try and recover, or I'll just process something that I really want to think about.
It was hard to tame the randomness for me. Cause I mean, I'm like Derek said, I'm super busy. I have lots of projects. I have so many things going on in life. like just had a, like a relative pass away. I thought that was going to take over, but really I didn't have any problem with that. But I did the one, the counting the breaths, the in out one count thing really helped me. I did that a couple times and it recentered everything, because it just, I couldn't think of anything but counting.
Right.
And then it kind of reset. And then I was like, okay, focus on this, like see the things in life I need to take care of. Like it always, every time I've done, this is my fifth time. I went twice to Venice before you guys had a place. So I went to Float Lab in Venice because that was the only place you could really go that I know of. And I'm a big Joe Rogan fan, and that's where I'd heard about it. And so I went down there and did it. And I honestly am not just kissing up right now. Like your facility is cleaner. It's better. The soundproof is amazing. Like in Venice, I could hear people out walking on the strip. I could hear stuff going by. I could hear things happening, and it was super distracting. I could hear people in the other room. But inside your tank, I know you made something called isotopic suspension. So your tanks are floating on airbags.
Right.
Is that something you came up with?
Yes. He had such a good establishment, and his stuff is unbelievable. And I just, after floating at his place, I just kind of wanted to, change it and just make it a little bit better. And that's the only thing that I could improve, was just the vibrations coming up through the ground.
Well,
and keep in mind, like we were kind of, all of us, yourself included, when we were starting, it's like on the other side of the wall, they were doing freaking construction and hammering.
Yeah.
Outside across the street is the local Fox Theater. And there was like this massive concert going on last night, and there was music
100 feet away.
Like 100. Yeah. There was just, as soon as you walked outside, it was just music booming in the air, you know, cars with sirens driving by. And we were just kind of floating in the tank, not hearing.
You did mention, did you hear the ambulance or something? And I didn't hear it.
I did hear the ambulance.
Yeah. See, I heard like bees buzzing, like a zzz, like not, it wasn't prominent, but you could kind of hear it. And it was probably vocal vibrations, maybe
from the Fox.
There was guys outside with huge speakers, you know, like the DJs from the radio station out there, like yelling on the microphone. But
actually, Brad, Brent and I have been meaning to tell you, whenever we get too close to you, we do hear bees buzzing.
That makes sense, because I'm the candy man.
I know that I had problems with my earplugs in the past, and I think that's why that was happening. This time I had the seal so good that I literally didn't want to tell you guys. I thought you were going to make fun of me, and I was like, I waited till the last minute. I got completely dressed.
He got scared.
I thought
was.
I might have to go to the doctor. Like, I could not get the earplugs out. They were so set in. I was pulling out my pocket knife, and like, I almost cut my ear. Like, I was like, do not put your pocket knife in your ear.
Yeah, that's in general.
Yeah.
But I choked up on it.
You heard it here first. Yeah. Don't put your pocket knife in your ear.
It was just ripping off. And then I walked out and I told Dirk, I was like, man, I can't get my earplugs out. I was like, this is a normal thing. And he was kind of just shaking his head at me, looking like,
there was a part of me that wanted to reach in and grab them, but Brad actually was.
Yeah,
like, Brad got it out. I got the one out using like the edge of a Q-tip, making like an air gap.
It wasn't that bad because I have fat fingers, and like you were, it was all there. You could see it.
I was just gorilla grabbing it.
It was right.
So my issue was I was like towards the very end, I was ready to give up. Like I was like, I think I've been in here like, I don't know, I think maybe it's been an hour, and then all of a sudden my. Like I felt this little drop inside my ear, and I'm like, oh no, my earplug's leaking. And so like, I start like moving, and I was like, okay, well, let me pull it out, 'cause it was leaking. And I pulled it out, and I was going to use the towel that's right there to wipe it off, you know? And as soon as I like touched the door, the lights came on, and I was like, oh, is it like censored? Like if I open the door, the lights come on. And I'm like, I didn't know that 2 hours had been up already. Like it really felt like I was giving up at an hour. So, we can talk more about, you know, the time deprivation and not, you know, knowing what time it is, and get into that after this.
This is the world famous Sofa King podcast. Stay tuned and listen to more awesome words.
Welcome back. You're listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast. This week we are talking about floating and sensory deprivation. We have with us Dirk Bentz, who's the owner of Salt 7 here in Bakersfield, where we record. And he is he's a purveyor of fine float tanks. And
a purveyor.
What's that? It's like you provide a service.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's derived from the word pervert, I think.
No.
Isn't it purveyor?
No.
Perv? No.
Sounds like Irv? There's naked people in a black box, and it sounds like perv. I don't know. What do you want me to do?
Purview?
Yeah. Same thing. Same argument.
So
you didn't start the timer. Go ahead.
Yeah, I will.
So let us like break down like how you got interested, like how you started it. And I know a lot of listeners know what we're talking about with floating, but I know a lot of people don't. So explain exactly what floating is, what the experience is, what they're doing, why there's no senses, like break some of that down on your end.
So the first way that I heard about floating was through my nephew, who was taking a college course, and they were studying the mind. And he explained what floating was to me, and what it is it's a chamber that's filled with 10 inches of solution. It's 1400 pounds of pharmaceutical grade Epsom salt that's dissolved. It raises the specific gravity to about 1.26 to 1.3, makes everything super buoyant,
mm-hmm.
just like the Dead Sea.
Okay.
So what we do is they heat the temperature of the solution to your body temperature. We keep it in a range of between 93 and 97.
Okay.
Okay. So you don't really feel where the water is. And at about 15 minutes when the doors shut, the air equalizes with the solution. So you get this, you can't really tell where the water starts and the air begins. So you get the sensation like you're floating.
Right.
It's light proof. It's soundproof. So you're literally trying to remove as much stimulant from the world as possible. So you're just in there with your mind.
And your breath and your heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot
those are the only two things.
I got scared though, because like Brent's like, yeah, you'll start feeling your heartbeat. And like it started for me. Like I was like, oh, okay, there's the heartbeat. Like I feel it now. It's doom, 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 doom. Well, after a while, I lost my heartbeat. Like I never heard my heartbeat after that. Like just a little bit of the heartbeat. And then it completely went away. And then like I was saying earlier, I would breathe and my breath was so annoying to me. Probably like my voice to some listeners, you know, you want to turn it off, but too bad. I would literally like breathe in and breathe out and just kind of stop breathing because it was annoying me. So I got that like where I was just holding my breath almost. And then I'd be like, oh, I need to breathe again.
I would have that happen. Breathe. Consciously yeah. make an effort to breathe.
Yeah. You have to literally think about it.
Become aware of it. I know a lot of people's on a lot of people's minds of like sanitation. And I know that you have mm-hmm. some extreme filtration on there. You guys have like lab grade equipment that you're a step be of the industry a step above the industry as far as like, cleanliness and filtration standards. Right. So tell us about like exactly what's going on with the water filtration and how that works.
So there's NSF, which is the National Sanitation Foundation. They write basically like a criteria to follow for different processes. So they wrote one for float tanks. There's really only one to us and then Float Lab that's following that criteria. A lot of the other ones use chemicals in the float tanks.
That's not good.
No, chlorine's not good.
Yeah.
You would smell it. I mean, that's a sense that would throw you off.
So like you said, we monitor the water. And as far as I know, we're the only ones monitoring the water live. A lot of people monitor it with test strips at the end of this float session, but we actually have lab grade probes. We have four of them. We measure temperature. We measure salinity. We measure pH and we measure ozone. So what we do after each cycle, the solution gets pumped through three filters. There's a 10 micron, 5 micron, and 1 micron. It goes through a UV filter that kills 99.99% of anything that goes past it at a certain flow rate. So we use a flow meter to make sure that we're flowing at the right rate to kill everything. And then we inject ozone into it. So it's a large amount of ozone. Ozone's very harmful to humans, to anything living. It'll break down a carbon molecule chain. It's a super oxidizer. And what it's doing is it's taking O2 and it's making O3. And when it does that, I mean, it'll literally eat stainless steel, you know, over enough time, it will disintegrate it. So.
But apparently as it's coming back through, the reaction happens quickly.
It does. Well, it takes about 7 to 8 minutes for it to, it converts back to O2.
Right.
So it's basically oxygenating the water in the tank, but it not only cleans the water, it cleans the air. So everything inside that tank is just like scrubbed with these little micro.
And I think it's like the scrubbing bubbles on another level.
And even that being said, the level of salinity in the water wouldn't even allow for like certain for microbial or bacterial growth, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I was surprised. Like I was just thinking you'd lay down and kind of float. Like it was literally hard to set down because as soon as you start moving your feet, it's trying to lift you up. And then getting up was like, you know, a little bit of a challenge. You said to do it slow. You know, you get in slow, you get out slow. And I was worried about getting the salt in my eyes, you know, and burning my face. But yeah, so the salt I have, you know, I work on my cars and stuff, you know, so my fingers have cuts. And Brent told me, you know, you're going to feel it. And as soon as I got in, you do feel it, but it goes away. You know, you feel a little sting or something if you have a cut and then it goes away. And so is the salt actually good for your skin or is it?
It's magnesium sulfate. Mm-hmm. We put 1400 pounds of salt in that tank and it's only about 200 gallons. So literally, I mean, we had a 50 pound bag. We dumped them all in there. It was almost like full of salt. We thought we maybe put too much in, but it took 3 days to dissolve.
Oh, wow.
And we run it at a point where if we added more salt, it would actually drop out of solution and start crystallizing. So you have to be careful because the temperature
evaporates
that too.
It evaporates the water.
Well, in the summer when it's warmer, it'll hold more salt. But in the winter when it's cold, if we don't keep the building at the right temperature and the solution gets cool just in the pipes and stuff, it'll just salt up and you have to take the whole thing apart.
Yeah, I read that 1.3 is like the border for specific gravity for fallout. Because I also used to be a pool guy, so it's like a lot of these things are very, very similar. And people's pools would get to the total dissolved solid, and you could add chlorine, and it wouldn't matter because literally, like if you picture a cup of iced tea and you stirred sugar in it and kept putting sugar and kept putting sugar, eventually it will just be on the bottom. Yeah. It will not stir in. Yeah. You know what I mean, unless you raise the temperature, and so you can play with that a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, it's a fine line, and Epsom salt. That's not cheap, right?
I mean, no, it's expensive. It's about a little over $1,000 per tank in the.
Yeah.
Yeah, it adds up.
How often do you have to change the salt or the solution or the
one,
you know?
Once a year, our flow meter has a totalizer, so it keeps track of the total gallons filtered. And so we not only, because obviously in a year, if you've only done 20 floats in a year, or if you're completely booked up and you're doing 25,000
floats
a year.
You have to do more. Yeah.
It really, you can't go off a time yet. So we go off a totalizer.
Okay. Do you lose salt in that in your filtering and stuff?
I use a hydrometer.
You step out,
Yeah. When everybody gets out, they take a certain amount of salt and water with them. Yeah. So we're having to add salt monthly to keep that range right.
Now this whole premise of doing this and even the idea of doing it in salt and so forth was all the brainchild of John Lilly. Is that correct?
Yeah. And back in the 50s.
Yeah, like in 1954. And I kind of want to talk about him for a second because this cat is a trip. Like John Lilly, the guy who came up with this. He was from a wealthy family. His family were bankers. I forget the Bank of Pennsylvania or something, but his father ran a bank and his mother ran a hedge fund. So they were very, very wealthy, like East Coast old school money. I mean, we're talking, he was young.
I'm
talking about white people money. Like in the 1930s, like straight up like wealthy. So the family wanted him to go into banking, but he wanted to go to Caltech to study neuroscience and neurophysiology. And he went there for a little bit, went to a couple of institutions. He ended up going to Dartmouth because Charles Horace Mayo, who founded the Mayo Clinic, like one of the greatest medical institutions in America, was friends with his dad. Like this is the level of hobnobbery that he was at. But he met him and studied under him. And then he went to the University of Pennsylvania. So he had a legitimate academic background, became a researcher at the University of Pennsylvania, and he started to research consciousness. And he started to wonder, you know, all these different effects. And his main focuses of research were consciousness, human consciousness, sensory deprivation and its effect on human consciousness. And at the time, he was trying all kinds of crazy stuff to achieve sensory deprivation. He tried to one big branch of his research was in communicating with dolphins. And he tried to create a synthetic language that dolphins could learn so he could communicate with them, but he never quite pulled it off. He had designed and envisioned
a giant
living space where dolphins and humans would float together, which I think was kind of one of the things that led to flotation. He was one of the first people to get involved in SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. He had such a love for dolphins that he helped to create the Marine Mammal Protection Act of 1972. He was really into the idea of messing around with psychotropics, and he got into LSD quite a bit, and he got into ketamine. And I think he would like combine these drugs with sensory deprivation to try to fight. He was kind of like, if anyone ever watched Fringe, he was kind of Walter from Fringe.
I just started watching Fringe again two days ago. Yeah.
Did you?
Season one.
So, and one quote from him, and this kind of gets to some of his trippiness. He said, "In the province of the mind, what one believes to be true either is true or becomes true within certain limits. These limits are to be found experimentally and experientially. When so found, these limits turn out to be further beliefs to be transcended. In the providence of the mind, there are no limits. However, in the providence of the body, there are limits that we need to transcend." So his whole idea was experiences are going to help you transcend your beliefs and like reach a higher consciousness. And this is the guy. I mean, it's really driven by science. He went through a lot of different iterations of ways to isolate yourself. And I know he probably had some crazier tanks that had masks and you were fully submerged. And supposedly I had read on one website that the longest that people typically ever go is 12 hours, but that he's been rumored to go much, much longer than 12 hours.
Do you know?
Like anything you want to add about Lily, sure. Like anything you found about him or.
Well, yeah, his goal was to take out the body and the, any input for any kind of drugs and the effects on the mind. So he just wanted to get rid of all of that to just focused on the effects that drugs had on the mind.
Needed a baseline.
And he actually had a grant and he was approved to get LSD from the government. I mean, it was fully, everything was legit.
Everything was legit.
But as far as the tanks, the bigger the tank, the less chance you have of touching the sides. And they call it the ping pong effect.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually built one that was big enough that he could float for 12 hours or longer. But he was able to go to the restroom in the tank because you can't go 12 hours without using the facilities.
Right.
So
right.
It was a one-time use. They filled it. He floated for a long time, and then they drained it.
And the original tanks were upright, and then they were like a breathing apparatus and like really tight fitted clothing. So
it was like an alien movie where you have people in the tubes.
Yeah, exactly. Really creepy. But they complained that it took away from the experience, that they had like the fear of drowning and anxiety because that whole uncomfortable breathing apparatus and being underwater completely submerged.
Yeah, if you had a face mask on, I found that, and Dave talked about this about touching. I tried the behind my head. And where I found comfortable was I was literally laying like the coffin,
really?
Like with the hands on the chest.
Because you're touching your chest and it makes you aware.
That was the thing I could feel, because when I was floating with my hands down or my hands up, not touching myself, I couldn't tell where my body stopped and the air began or the water stopped. You couldn't really tell anything. So it was that sensory deprivation was there, but as soon as you touch yourself, you touch your arm, you touch your chest, whatever, or you're the back of your head, that it almost takes it away.
Right.
Or part of it, you touch your head. Now you can feel the bottom of your head. It really was a sensory deprivation. Like as soon as I literally was just floating there and I felt, like a piece of driftwood in the ocean. You just feel like the room goes from being small to this vast space where there's no limits to it. And you talked about the ping pong effect. I'm very restless. And I talked about how I touched the wall and you just barely touch it. And it's almost like space. If you're moving in space, you don't stop. You just keep going. And it literally felt like it would take minutes to go from one end of the tank and you float to the other end of the tank. And you can even brush your hands on the wall to feel yourself moving. And the tank felt so big, And it was pretty cool. Like, it really was a different feeling.
So the way that I wanted to do it, but I didn't have the space, and they've built some of these, is they make them cylindrical
around.
And
that'd be awesome.
They induce a little bit of flow around the circumference. So when you're in there, you actually spin and you never touch a wall. Like, you can go hours and hours and never touch a wall.
I felt like I was spinning. Like, that was one of the effect. Once I got settled and comfortable, I felt like a spiral. I felt like I was rotating, but then I would kind of freak out and I would touch the walls and I wasn't even moving. So, you know, your body's, I don't know. I mean, I wonder if our bodies have like a hum or a,
I felt that several times. I felt that same sense of spinning.
Yeah.
And like I said, my arm and my leg spans are so wide. I was very aware of the dimensions of the tank. So when I would like let go and I would feel myself spinning, I knew it was a complete impossibility, because I knew if I would have spun, it would have lasted about 3 seconds and then my head and my feet would have touched a wall.
Well, I know too, because I found myself up in a corner. You know, like, I wasn't, that's my problem, is I can't settle. Like, that was the hardest part for me was settling, because as soon as I felt settled, I would have to move and feel or something, you know, because you just lose all sense, you know, and it feels, it's not scary, it's just strange, you know, like, and you're left in there to your own devices, you know.
That's what they say, is you're especially people doing it for the first time, the first 20-30 minutes, your mind just freaks out. It wants to find something in reality that say that you exist, because when you're in there and you can't see anything, you can't hear anything, and you're floating, your mind kind of looks for something to grab onto that says you're still here, you exist.
A little piece of light.
Yeah.
A little,
so, like, you'll get like an itch, or, you know, something, you know, you're breathing, your heart, it'll kind of mess with you. And
that makes sense, because you'd feel like you're searching for light. Like, you could almost see light in a corner, or you literally, you wouldn't think about it, but you'd have to touch the side. But when I was super comfortable, my toe hit like the edge or something somewhere, and I jumped. Like, I was like, oh, like, I thought something was in the water, you know, like, it literally, you just forget what feeling feels like. And then as soon as you touch the littlest thing, it feels like somebody's punching you. Like, it really feels like a hard touch when you're just barely touching something. So,
and then the other thing that I noticed was a lot of time, like, my feet would bump the edge quite a bit, which is why I had to kind of cross my feet. And there were several times where my foot or my arm or whatever would bump, and then I would kind of push away from it so that I wouldn't be touching it anymore. And several times it was only my right foot. My right foot would bump the wall, and then I would kind of move my toe to push away from the wall, but there was no wall. Like, my right foot kept thinking it was touching the wall, but I wasn't in striking distance, you know? So I thought that was an interesting thing. And the other thing it took me a long time to learn was, if I did bump the wall, to just ignore it. Because every time I bumped, I would kind of just very lightly, but I would push away. And then inevitably, some matter of who knows how long later, I would bump the other edge.
Yeah, you don't stop.
And then I
floating.
Would push away. And then a little bit later, I would bump the other edge. So I finally realized, if I did bump, I just needed to stop, and just the bump would end itself in a second and I would be fine. So it was a trip.
Separate yourself from the morons. Listen to more on SofaKingPodcast.com. Stay tuned through the break.
Welcome back to the Sofa King Podcast. And we're talking to Dirk Bentz, the local float center owner. It is Salt 7, correct?
Yes.
And we're kind of discussing our experiences and kind of the history of sensory deprivation tanks. And I was kind of hesitant to do it. I had a lot of things going on.
We had a wide spectrum, from Brent, who's really experienced at it. I was in the middle. I was really looking forward to it, but I wasn't looking forward to 2 hours. And then
I'm like,
Brad,
15 minutes.
Did not want to do it at all.
And I wasn't hesitant, because I was, you know, I just felt like it was a time killer for me, you know. And I, after doing it now, I said, when I went in, when I got out, I said, no, it really felt like 2 hours. Like, I kind of lost track of time. And I kind of felt like I was in there for an hour, and I was like, all right, man, I think I'm done. Like, I just can't get myself situated. I can't, as soon as I get situated, I lose it. And I don't know what to think about. I'm sitting here trying to think of, like, let me get something done while I'm in here. And my brain just would not work. Like, as soon as I started thinking about the podcast or like what I need to get done, it just like nothing, like it was nothing. I my brain was blank. I had no thoughts, no nothing except for trying to find myself, you know, where am I at in this tank? Why do I feel like I'm spinning? You know, like at one point I was waving my body like an S, not using any muscles, just kind of like fishing.
That sounds sexy.
Like I literally was just like S-ing my body.
Right.
And, it felt, you just feel like one with the room. Like there is no beginning. There's no end. I felt like I, anything that was out of the water, I could feel everything that was in the water. Everything out of the water, I couldn't feel. I couldn't feel my face. I couldn't feel my chest. I couldn't feel my feet, my legs. It was really, really weird. Don't give me none of those jelly beans.
Just take one. It's for no. It's for the end.
No.
You're scared?
Well, he's got to eat them.
He sure. will. I'm going to hand him out. Take one.
So interrupting me with my sexy S. So, and then as it went on, you know, these feelings, they change and they differ in your mind. Like you said, it tries to find some sort of like, am I really here? But it literally felt like a vast ocean to me. And I was telling my girlfriend this, it felt like a vast ocean and just pitch black. And you're just floating, like just laying in the ocean, looking up at, you know, a dark sky, and you're just floating and there are no troubles, no worries, you know, everything's gone. And, at one point I felt like I was in there. I was like, man, I think I've been in here for like 3 days. Like it literally felt like I started feeling trapped, you know, and then after a while, you know, this and that, you know, your body's doing different things. And then you're like, then the lights come on.
You really feel like 3 days?
Yeah. Like I really felt like I was in there for a really, really long time. And I didn't know. I think my brain was trying to tell me to get out.
I was really surprised when the light came on, to be honest. I thought, because we had discussed about Dave's anxiety, that maybe you had set the timer for 1 hour on mine.
Right.
Because when the light came on, I was like, oh, I don't want to get out and everybody's still in.
I literally opened. Well, yeah, I kind of cracked the door and I was getting up and I was like listening. Cause like I said, my earplug had came out, you know,
I couldn't get mine out. I couldn't hear anything.
And so I like opened the door and I'm like kind of listening. And then I kind of hear Dave's open and I'm like, okay, well, was that the hour? Like that's, I thought the same thing. I was like, was that the hour for Dave? And so I get out and I'm like waiting and I'm like, kind of just like, I patted my face off, you know, and I'm like waiting and I'm like, then I hear Dave like open the shower and I'm like, okay, I guess I'll get in the shower. I didn't know. Like you honestly lose that track of time where I thought it was 2 hours. I thought it was too long. But then after a while you start thinking, you're like, hey, I don't know. You know, you really lose it.
For me, it's the experience after I get out of the tank that really drew me to wanting to build a float center and own one in Bakersfield. my first time in Venice, when I got out, I noticed it was almost like a psychedelic effect. Like colors looked a little bit different. Sounds were different. I couldn't quite place it, but I knew something was different.
Yeah.
Everything's like, a little more vibrant. Someone turned up the volume. On
yeah.
The
and
world.
I honestly got out. We talked for a minute and I hopped in my truck and drove home. And I should have probably taken 15 minutes to just kind of hang out. My eyes were really not struggling, but everything was just, it was like a overload.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, and I was driving home and I'm like, oh man, like it was a lot. My brain didn't know how to take that information in. Like I had to relearn it.
Yeah.
And so the whole night kind of felt weird, you know, the rest of the night. So
no, yeah. It definitely did. I did notice that I was a little bit transfixed by the taillights in front of me when I was on the freeway driving home and everything, like it's like certain colors got the volume turned down and certain colors got the volume turned up. And it was for me, the after effect beyond that was just, like I said, I mean, I can't even explain how good my body felt when I was done with that. I mean, and granted, my neck hurt a little bit. Cause like I said, I was kind of at a bad angle for a long time until I figured out exactly how to position my arms and shoulders. That's right. But I just, cause you get a massage and I generally, if I get a massage, they massage my back. Cause that's where I usually have stress and tension and that's what feels better.
And
but it's
front.
Like my freaking feet felt better. I mean, every single muscle possible in my body felt like relaxed and as if it had been
worked
on.
Did you notice tension in weird spots that you didn't notice before, though? That always happens to me.
No, I noticed tension where all my tension is, but I did notice that every
but
single...
But you were able to relax that. I'm saying like that maybe you weren't even aware of it, like some new thing.
No,
my arches really hurt me, and I didn't even notice it, but as soon as you said your feet, my feet aren't hurting today. I have herniated discs in my back. Just my knees are messed up real bad. And, last night I kind of was hurting. I get like arthritis pain in my joints, you know? And my girlfriend asked me, she said, "Oh, I wonder if it's going to rain." 'Cause I'm like the old guy, you know, my feet, I have like the weather knuckle, you know, like as soon as my knuckle starts hurting, like, I'm like, "Ah, it's going to rain," you know? And, but today I really do. My back feels loose. Like I haven't tried to pop it today 'cause it's not bothering me. My knees don't hurt. My feet are feeling good. My shoulders actually are feeling, I'm in probably 50% less pain today.
I tried to schedule a massage right before we went to the tank, but they were full up and I couldn't do it. I still want to try to do
You'd
that.
You'd probably fall asleep in the tank and die.
I don't know what would happen. It'd probably be really great.
Well, go ahead.
Because I know when I had all the muscles in my neck torn at a karate tournament a long time ago, I was just in...
Was it in Fresno?
Oh, no wonder he was in the crane.
Was it the All Valley crane
situation?
I was in pretty much constant pain for almost a year because all the muscle fibers in my neck were torn from a really bad choke out that I refused to tap on like an idiot.
How's that a karate thing?
They don't do that karate. You're lying. You had like...
Yeah. Well, the guy that I was fighting is a friend of mine who also has a black belt in judo. And I was all full of myself and thought, I'm going to take the judo black belt to the ground. And I did. I took him to the ground clean. Like I nailed him to the ground. And then he put some judo on my ass with a quickness.
So he let you take him to the ground.
No, I took him to the ground. He was quite surprised by the takedown. But once we were down there, I was now in his realm. And it was a really bad idea. But anyway, he choked me out, tore my neck. And I know that the doctors, and I never did, but like two of the doctors wanted me to get some weird thing that would do traction. At my house that I would lay on. And the idea is you kind of lay in some upside down thing and it stretches your body and it would, to help my neck get better or whatever. And I never did it. But when I was in the tank and when I got out of the tank, that's really what I was thinking is I guess the principle of traction is you're pulling your body in a way to make it heal better and not be cramped up and whatever. And it felt like it was sort of mini traction on every muscle all over my body because there's no gravitational stress. There's no posture. Yeah. There's no, like it all just melts away in this tank. And I think that was really the benefit that it did. I know it's really good for your blood pressure. And I do have high blood pressure. And I was reading that one of the reasons it's good for your blood pressure is because the pressure of the water equalizes all the way around you.
Right.
So it changes something about the surface capillaries pressure or something.
They say it actually lowers your heart rate. But
maybe that's why I couldn't feel my heart rate. Maybe I already have a low heart rate.
You were holding your breath for a while.
That's maybe, right. You were dead.
I might have been. I might have resuscitated myself.
And I will say I took my blood pressure monitor with me. I can't remember the numbers because I suck at it, but I know that I was 5 points lower when I got out of the tank than I was.
Well, you're relaxed.
When I got in the tank.
Yeah.
So they say it increases your circulation, but it lowers your heart rate. So,
which that would make sense why you feel better, because when you get that circulation, your body's healing. It helps you heal faster. And I think when you're sitting there and you think about it, you're floating. I talked about when I was going to move my hands from down to my side to behind my head. And my arm felt like it weighed 100 pounds.
I get
like,
that.
I was like, oh my God. Like, yeah. Like, why is my arm so heavy? And I'd use, and then I started messing around and I'm like, let me lift both my arms. Like it was like a workout, like just trying to lift your arms up. But I was thinking like, man, when I get out, I'm going to feel like 500 pounds. But once you're out, you don't feel any different.
No.
Like there's like that weird, it is a trip. It's so definitely
Brent,
different.
I want to hear about Brent's trip. So I haven't said much about my experience in the
about
tank
Venice.
Psychologically, but I want to hear about what Brent went through mentally.
Yeah,
in the
I've been
in
really
the
quiet because I wanted to base Brent's experience on a friend of mine, Trent, who had a similar experience. So, I mean, like the guys have said, I've done this. I think this was my fifth float. I think I've been there. Like, I went the time with your cousin was my first time. And then you called me because someone was a no-show.
Right.
And I went for that. And then I went this time. And I'd been to Venice two times before. So the first time we went to Venice, we went like over 2.5 hours. The guy, Crash, I think his name, yeah.
He fell asleep at the controls.
He was like, yeah, man, I got some paperwork to do, man. So just if you guys feel like get out. If not, when I'm done with this, I'll come knock. So we were like the last float of the day. And so we went in there when the sun was up and came out when the sun was down.
That's what we did.
And I don't know how long I was actually in there. I can't remember, but over 2 hours, I think my first try. So then we went back and the second experience wasn't as good because I had noise and interruptions and whatnot. The third experience was cool. But finally, my friend Trent had recommended and I had heard that if you possibly did edibles or if you had smoked marijuana and got into the tank that you might get a different experience. And my friend Trent happened to float at a completely different facility last night at the same time as us from 6 to 8. Not really. And he ate, allegedly, some cannabis Doritos that taste like Cool Ranch Doritos, so he says.
I don't think they taste like Cool Ranch Doritos.
You didn't eat any. Trent did, and I believe everything Trent says. We're really close.
Yeah, but did Trent try the Fromunga cheese chips?
He did, and he liked those because those are good.
Yeah, I don't trust him.
Yeah, I let Trent try those too. But anyways, apparently there's 50 milligrams in a bag and about 1.5 servings. So Trent ate like, I don't know, like 3.5.
Wait a minute. 50 milligrams. That's 5 servings. A 10 milligrams is a serving.
How do you know?
I did research, my friend.
Okay. Well,
you'll find that out later in the week.
I just know that Trent hadn't ever had a good experience with edibles and was slightly anxious. So apparently he ate 3.5 chips and took 2 decent drags off of a joint right before getting into the tank. And he actually walked Dave and I down the street. And I know that when we got to the intersection from the intersection that he had said some funny stuff about different things being on different soundtracks. Was that what Trent said? And that the car that had passed directly in front of us had nothing to do with us at all.
Right.
I think that was the quote. Yeah. That car that just passed us has nothing to do with us. So he was in a different state of mind, by the crosswalk. So at that point we were about 100 feet, to the facility, and then he had to go cause he had to go to his facility. But, what he said was when he got in the tank that for a good, what I would think is 30 minutes, he saw nothing but 80s cartoons like Thundercats, Voltron, and then a random thing of 80s cartoons that didn't really ever exist were in the perfect stylings of 80s cartoons for some weird reason. And they would just flash in and out, just kept seeing 80s cartoons the whole time.
No wonder you could stay in the tank for so long.
Who? Trent?
Trent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was really worried about anxiety. He didn't get any anxiety though. And I think that the most interesting thing that he told me was that, the experience with marijuana, I think, has a lot to do with sensory input. So when you see things, like you have visual distortion or you hear things, you have audible distortion. And then when you have sensory things, like things feel different, your whole experience is amplified and different. But because of the lack of the actual sensory stuff, it wore off really quickly, but the visuals were really extreme in the beginning. I know that like from previous times getting in the tank, it took a while to settle in and start to have like your eyes open or closed and see colors or see anything or feel anything, but it was immediate. I mean, as soon as Trent got in the tank, visuals, colors, it was pretty intense for a good, what I would guess is an hour. And then I think it just wore off way faster than it would have due to lack of actual like sensory input. So
or he might have thought it did. You know, it might have been an hour that he had it or whatever and didn't realize.
Maybe Trent's still in the tank.
He might be.
No, I saw him this morning. Yeah. When I took a shower, I saw him.
Maybe Trent's still in the tank and thinks it's a day later and he's recording a podcast.
No, Trent doesn't record the podcast. Could be. So yeah, so I mean that's pretty interesting. And so now you run the business, you know, and I know you have insurance and you have all that stuff. So you don't condone people actually taking drugs or anything going in the tank, even though research was done with this.
It's intense enough just by itself.
Right.
But, and I've never done anything like that, but I've been curious to hear a perspective of somebody that has.
Yeah.
But yeah, like from insurance, if anybody comes in intoxicated, drunk or anything like that,
you turn them away.
We have to.
So you're the exact opposite of a tattoo parlor. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. They're not supposed to. Yeah.
It is hard to tell all the time. I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah. But I mean, if somebody's slobbering drunk, obviously they're going to drown in the tank, you know, that's not what you want.
They've never really had anybody ever drown.
Yeah.
Because
I don't think you could.
Well, if you're face down, you could.
Well, here's the thing. It'd be like me pepper spraying you and say, sit there in the chair and just take deep breaths.
You'd be torturing yourself. Fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause if you rolled over and got that salt in your eyes, you would wake up like in
I think I was super concerned about the salt in my eyes. Like, cause you kept saying, just don't get in your eyes. And I'm like, and we were talking about the relaxing your neck, like that with your hands down to your side, it's kind of hard on your neck if you don't just let your body be. And I finally let my body just go, and my head felt like it sank back so far, like it was going to come over my forehead into my eyes. And I was like super concerned about it, but I'm like, okay, this is where I'm laying at. And my neck feels good right here. It feels like I'm on a pillow.
I like the way you say that.
Pillow?
Yeah, pillow.
What's wrong with pillow?
I don't know.
Isn't that how you say pillow?
Sure.
Pillow?
Yeah. Huh? No, pillow? There's no I in pillow.
I did notice? Every time I thought I was totally relaxed, I realized there was another level of relaxed. Like I had a little bit of tension, or I was holding my legs or my arms in a certain way, and I would just like let go, let go, let go, let go. And it just kept finding out that there was another level of relaxation.
I felt like my legs were like I had, like I was doing the splits.
It felt really hot.
But then I would like move my legs and I'd realize, because you can't feel like that. That's the crazy thing. Like you couldn't feel. And I felt like my legs, I'm like, man, my legs are like, just like floating apart. Like they're not staying, normal. But I think I probably was normal. I just couldn't tell. And then I would kind of open my legs to touch, like try and touch the sides or something, and I'd realize, oh no, my legs were in a normal position. You just can't feel it. So it was definitely a different, it's not something you can get in the bathtub. You can't go to your house and dump, a bunch of Epsom salt in your bathtub and, float. So you really are submerged. And like I said, I couldn't feel my body. Like if you don't move and there's no motion, no movement, you cannot feel your limbs.
Yeah.
Like they honestly go away. And my brain was like, wait a minute, like what's going on? And you would get an itch, like I would get an itch on my back or my stomach would itch or something, so.
We're almost out of time. We've got just a little bit of time left. We're going to continue the conversation after the radio episode. So hit us on sofakingpodcast.com and find more information about us. We're talking with Dirk about Salt 7 here in Bakersfield. If you're local, call him. Go do it. Go float. It's awesome.
Yep.
Stick around. Download the full episode, and you'll hear us talk a little bit more about our float experiences.
Yep. At SofaKingBrad, at SofaKingDavid, and at SofaKingBrent, if you want to hit us up on Instagram. Follow us, like us, whatever. Or don't like Brent. I don't like him.
You've just heard a radio edition of the Sofa King Podcast. To hear an uncut version of this episode or listen to a separate web-only podcast every Tuesday, visit SofaKingPodcast.com or find them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcast app. You can reach the Sofa Kings at Sofa King Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And remember, don't be a retard.
All right. Welcome to the web. Here we are. So we're sitting, we're talking with Dirk Bintz from Salt 7 Float. You guys asked me to come back in and just try to bulldoze me.
That's right. We did.
I'm a grown ass man and I can cuss now.
Got him.
On the internet.
Got him. If you're still listening, then you've gone past the radio episode and you're in download land. So now we can swear and do other things. But there was still some stuff we wanted to say about floating. So we wanted to make sure we talked about it. And I know one of the key things that we didn't talk about yet is this idea of like hitting that meditative state and like hitting this theta wave state in your brain. And I think that was one of the things that was actually slowing me down last night, because I haven't in a while, but for a long time in my life, I meditated every single day. I would meditate twice a day. I've taken classes on meditation. I've studied it. Did you do the meditation techniques?
The transcendental meditation? Is that what it is?
I don't know. I never left my body or anything like that. But
I don't think that's what it is. I think it's just you're just chilling on the floor.
Yeah, you're just chilling on the floor. And I never really did an out loud mantra. I mean, I did it in the class, but it didn't really do anything for me.
I think the purpose of that mantra thing is just to tune you in. I think that's like something that when people try to meditate at home, there's always going to be a cat meowing. There's always a
dog
door shutting,
a
car driving by. And I think that's what's really huge for people that are using the tank for a meditative type purpose is, It just takes it all out of the equation. So right. It's like, you know, maybe some Buddhist monk took 30 years to try to reach enlightenment, but we have like technology on our side to be able to remove those things from the equation, and you get to take a huge step forward as far as the ability to try to do it.
It's go ahead.
It's like training wheels for meditation, right?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Because it just costs more.
It sets it to easy mode. Yeah.
I'll do like an internal mantra that I'm like saying inside, but I don't say it out loud because I find it distracts me.
What do you say?
I'm not going to say. It's my mantra. Fuck off. I'm not saying.
Come on.
Nope. And I don't always use it a lot. I mean, the first type I ever did was a thing that was just called Zen belly breathing, and you put your hands on your belly.
That's more embarrassing than your mantra. What's your mantra? Baby carrots?
I will never tell anyone my mantra so you can stop. But anyway, you focus on different things. And in my meditating, I will hit, not all the time, I'd say maybe 10 or 20%, I would truly hit that meditative state where time just completely vanishes. I'm not there anymore. Like it's a really intense and really trippy experience. And I haven't done it a lot. Like I said, a rare percentage of my meditation actually got me to that space. And when I was in the tank, I think I was trying too hard to meditate. I don't know if that makes any sense. I was trying to do what I would do if I was sitting on the ground meditating, but I wasn't. I was floating senseless.
You're having the reverse effect.
And it was hindering me more than helping me.
The Barney song doesn't work in the tank is why you can't sing that to yourself. That's not it.
But the thing is, at the right there at the end of the 2 hours, like when I finally got comfortable and I was finally like, oh, okay, I think this is it. And I was just starting to kind of feel the true I'm dissolving and I can't tell where I am in the world is, because most of the time I was very aware of it. But when I finally got comfortable and realized where I wanted to be, I was just a little bit starting to feel kind of the beginning of that weird meditate, because you almost feel high. Like when you're meditating and you hit that state, you'd literally feel high, even though there's no drug in your system, unless you're Trent. But I just started to kind of feel that right when the lights came up, which is why I definitely wanted to do it again for an hour and get in that zone. But I think I was trying to meditate too hard, and it was like I should have just been experiencing the lack of experience kind of a thing, if that makes any sense. But I had some weird sort of mental things happening. Like I kept like picturing people from my family, like living or dead, and just like a glimpse of them. And then there, like, it was like a web of people that were like all connected, and it's like really hard to explain.
At a hockey game.
But I just kept seeing loved ones of mine and like connections they had to other loved ones.
So
like
you just had your life web. Flash between your eyes.
It was
before
weird.
You,
I don't
between
know,
your eyes.
To, and I couldn't help but lay there and think, if I was a religious person who prayed, I would be trying to talk to God right now.
Right.
I tried that. It didn't work.
No.
I do when I'm in there.
Do you?
Yeah.
No, because I mean, I felt like that was like what you would have to do. And then I started thinking all deep about God and the cosmos and like getting into like the birth of the universe.
You went all Mo deGrasse Tyson on
it? I did. I went Mo deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, man.
I got pretty cosmic. I was like, and that wasn't even like when I was like fully feel like that was like early on. Yeah. I was feeling that.
I did the space thing too. Like that's what I said. Like it was like at first it was the ocean. You know, and I just felt like it was this vast ocean. And then like with the ping pong deal, you know, you're going back and forth, and it felt like it took minutes to get from one side of the tank to the other. And that's when I felt that space, like you were in space, just kind of floating out away from Earth. There was no feeling, no air, you know what I mean? Like nothing. And that's, I got that feeling, that space feeling, the cosmos.
Yeah,
like
exactly. And I kept coming back to this. There's a book, a science fiction book called The Star Maker by William Olaf Stapleton. And it's this bizarre science fiction book written in the 1930s. Star Maker. And the premise of the book is this guy is just laying in a field looking at the stars, and he leaves his body and starts to like go on this weird cosmic journey that lasts for millions of years. And he starts like going and visiting these alien races and like understanding that stars are living beings. And he's trying to like find the star maker, like who created this whole thing. And it's one of the trippiest books I've ever read. It's one of the best science fiction books I've ever read, unlike anything. But the whole thing thing is this man just floating disembodied through outer space, trying to find God, and like all and running into just civilization after civilization and watching them rise and fall. It's this total brain trip of a book, but I was like, I couldn't get that out of my head. I was like in the tank trying to find the star maker. And then I would bump the wall.
Well, your body, you know, you have your body and you have your spirit or your mind. And I think when you're in the tank, it eliminates the body.
Yes.
So you're just left with the mind and the spirit. And, you know, eventually I think those two are going to be separated. I mean, it's indefinite that your body and your mind is going to be separated.
Right, right.
So it gives you like a small glimpse of kind of what that would be like without a body.
During the early experience or the experiments that they had with the sensory deprivation, their point was that they thought that the brain and the mind and consciousness depended upon input. And they thought that if you didn't have any input, if they could eliminate as much sensory input as possible, that you would just fall asleep. They thought that it would be impossible just to stay awake and think. They didn't think you would dwell, you know, and see 80s movies like, but apparently you do.
So what's the theta wave situation? Like what's the,
so your brain transcends into, it slows into like a waking consciousness. It's that point, not where you're asleep and you're dreaming. It's that kind of that in between state.
Right.
So, your brain just shifts to that state. What they say is that 1 hour in the tank is equal to 4 hours of deep REM sleep. So, you know, they have stockbrokers and people that go in there for 4 hours and then they stay up for 20 hours and then they get in there for 4 hours and they'll do that for a week straight.
So even though you're awake in the tank, it's equal to sleep.
It is. Yeah.
I mean, I definitely had it happen where I forgot that I was in the tank, but I was not asleep. Like it happened a lot and I would fall back in and out of it. Right. And I would be like, dang, how long was I dwelling on whatever I was dwelling? Yeah. Like I was just focused on something. Yeah. And I was thinking and thinking, and all of a sudden I'd be like, oh, I'm in the tank. And then it would fall back into it. And it was like being asleep, but I was not asleep.
Yeah. The hard part was the eye thing. Like you can't feel whether you're asleep or not. And then I just was stuck on the time. Like I really was like stuck on time.
Yeah,
I was.
Even though you lose it, like you have no idea. I was really stuck on like I could feel. I don't know how you have your heaters set up, you know, keeping it, but I could feel like eventually, like the heat like would come in, and I'm like, man, I wonder if those are set like every 15 minutes. Like I'm trying to figure out a way to clock this time.
So we set the heater. The heaters are in the walls, so we set them. It actually creates a thermosiphon effect.
Yeah,
and it centers the person because heat rises.
Yeah,
and the heaters are in the wall, so then it moves to the center and cools and then it falls down and then it heats. So it actually centers the floater.
Circles, yeah.
And what you said earlier about the room meeting an ambient temperature after a while was actually, I found that to be very true because there were times, not only was time playing tricks with me, but like whether, like I obviously my intellectual brain knew that I was laying face up and that my backside was in the water and my front side was in the air. But there were times where I would move and like I would move my hand out of the water and suddenly it felt warmer in the air.
So you thought you were going the other way?
And then a couple seconds later, if my hand went deeper in the water, it now felt warmer in the water. So like there was this constant, like it's cooler in the water. No, it's cooler in the air. No, it's warmer in the water. No, it's warmer in the air. So you really kind of lost a sense of what was the water and what was the air.
Yeah.
And I know another thing Brad mentioned earlier at one point, I'm a big, I need fresh air person.
Yeah.
And there was one point in there. Cause I mean, you're stuck in there with yourself, like whatever you're bringing in, you're bringing in,
you got your baggage with you.
Right. Exactly. And that, I mean, that's part of my, and at one point I would guess, even though time is hard to gauge, it was probably a good hour and a half into it. Cause it wasn't long before I found my comfortable position. But at some point I was just like, I have to have fresh air.
You like, opened the door.
And I did. I had to.
Yeah. I heard that.
Do you know how long into it that was?
It was like an hour and a half.
Was it? Cause that was kind of where I thought it was
towards the end.
Yeah. And because I was just like, I have to have some fresh air. And I just opened it barely at all. Cause I didn't want a bunch of light to flood in there. And I just kind of drifted over and breathed a couple of cold gulps of air. And then I closed it again.
So just so you know, that didn't count at all. You have to do it over.
This is the interesting thing. I did the same thing. I did it three times.
You open the door?
Just barely.
I can't be friends with you guys anymore. So
well, you know what? You can do whatever.
I'm fine.
I'll go floating with Trent. He's cooler anyway.
That guy's funny.
No, but listen, before you throw me out.
All right.
Listen, this is what's cool about it. I'm very like, it's hard for me to breathe in, what is it? Humid air. Like, right. I really feel like I can't breathe. Yeah. It was hard. Like, after a while it went away. Like the sensation of like the weight on you, like it feels like you're being pulled into the water almost, like it's, and I'm sure everybody's different, but it felt like it was heavy for me to breathe. And I was like, okay, you know, just breathe, breathe in and trying to get situated. And then a little while later, I don't know how long, but I was like, you know what? I'm just like, I need to breathe air. Like, I need to feel the air. And maybe it was my mind saying like, I need to feel something real, you know? And so I cracked the door just barely. Light came in. But what was weird was I left it open for a second or probably a minute or so, and I could feel the air coming in, but then I floated away from the door a little bit, and everything was black still. Never saw the light. So there was that, even though I needed that air, I could see it right when I opened it. I saw a crack of light, but then it just went away. Like, and my eyes were open. The light just flooded away and into the darkness. So it seemed like that, again, that tank was way bigger than it was because I was able to move away from the light. So, and yeah. I did that a couple of times, and both times it kind of flooded into darkness again. Like, it was really strange.
Yeah. I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast before, but probably, but I have a problem with time anyway. Like, we looked it up. It's like temporal displacement. I have some weird thing where I can't track time very well. Like, I don't know if something was like necessarily 2 weeks ago or like 2 months ago. Like, if someone asked me when an event occurred, I have problems. Like, I can't say the months in order. Sometimes I panic. Like, I'm a smart guy. I could like fix your car, build you a treehouse, fix your computer, invent something. And there's like such a simple thing for me is a problem. And like, I mean, I will literally put a hot pocket in the microwave for 2 minutes, walk away and feel like I did a bunch of stuff, and then come back and there's like a minute and 42 seconds left. And I haven't been talking to Trent or anything.
Yeah. So don't listen to Brent about the time.
And I'll
yeah.
look at it and be like, what? How did I do that? Like, 18 seconds I've been walking around. Like, what was I doing? How did I do all those things and accomplish those things? Time's really weird for me already. And I'd be super curious if I had like a button, like the little Price is Right like trigger, and that every time I thought like 10 minutes passed, that a light would light up and Dirk mark the time or something. I think that'd be an interesting
just
experiment.
To see how much time is actually passing,
what those range, and see that graphed out, because I bet it would be like 1 minute, 3 minutes.
It's probably because your mind's moving so fast that, you know,
it's a Superman thing.
When you're not thinking
fast,
about time,
everyone's moving slow.
Yeah. You're not thinking about time. Like, you just do it. And then you're like, oh, wow, that didn't take me very long at all.
But it messed up my whole life, even on the long timeline. Yeah. Like, I can't remember. It's really weird, man. Yeah.
Well, you're going to be old and be like, man, it was so fast that I got here.
Yeah.
Like, what happened? It seems like 3 minutes and now I'm 86.
Like, if I go to pick up like medicine at the pharmacy or something, they're like, what's the birth date? And I'm like, like, it's weird. I can remember people's license plate numbers that I don't want to, and like phone numbers from kindergarten and stuff.
This is how your brain works. Yeah. At least like when you're sitting at the doctor's office and it takes 2 hours, you're like, oh, that was fast. Like, you get up.
Right.
And then I'm completely lost, because the other thing is direction. So that's another thing for me, I think, that factored into it, is I have a problem with time already. And I also have zero concept of direction.
Yeah.
So like we've said before on the podcast, when I get out of the doctor's office, like, it doesn't matter if it was only three turns, I have to embarrassingly ask the nurse, like, I got mixed up, and I play this play every time. Where I was just in there yesterday or something, I'm just back for results, like, and I can't find my way out of three turns back to a door. So I think that probably plays into my personal experience with being in the tank as well, because I felt like it was toppling end over end at times, and I know that's impossible. And that might have been some Trent, but definitely the 360 thing would happen, and you know that it can't be happening.
Right. Yeah, you know it's like, not happening, but you literally feel like you're spinning.
And the depth with your eyes open too.
Can you control it? Because, you know, when I'm in there and it starts spinning, I can be like, okay, well, I'll spin left. And
I did that. Yeah.
You can control.
No, I just kind of moved my head. I did the sexy Brad S swerve thing, the snake thing.
Yeah.
And when you curve your body a little bit, it feels like
it goes the other way.
Yeah. If you feel like if you curve, you're turning that way, and you know, you're just like sitting there with your head tilted, but it feels like you're spinning in a circle.
Yeah. When I felt like I was spinning in the circle, I knew, you know, in my mind, I'm like, I'm not spinning, but that's crazy. I would just see a spiral, like, you know, and above me, you know, and I'm like, I feel like I'm spinning down a drain or something, you know? And then that's when I would go, I'd stretch my arms and kind of just touch the sides, you know? And I'm like, that's crazy. Cause I would think that I would be crooked, you know, or like moved. Nope. I'm perfectly centered still, or, you know, maybe a little one way or the other, but I would not be crooked at all. Like, that's the crazy thing. Like, you just have, it's just no, you just don't know.
So what was your self-image of yours? I mean, what did you, Did you see yourself as you were, or did you?
No, I almost felt like I was just one with the water. Like you're just in the water and you're nothing. Like I said, the driftwood thing, you know, like you're just something floating. You're not a body anymore. You know, like you have this like perception of like, just it's all dark. You don't know if it is round or square or long or you know what I mean? Or shallow. You forget you're only 10 inches. And if you don't reach down and touch the bottom, you feel like there's nothing below you at all, you know, and above you, you know, there's nothing. And like Dave said, the water becomes the air and the air becomes the water. And you don't, with that heat, the way it works, you don't really know what's what. I mean, in your mind, you know, you know that your face, you know, your body's in the water and your mind's up.
It comes into question though.
It does come into question. Like if you just kind of stop thinking at all, you're just in a bubble of nothing.
Did your ego come into place? I mean, did you like, because a lot of people say that they're, you know, they like kind of look at their ego and evaluate it.
I put myself in perspective for sure when I get in there. Like, I thought about like all the little things that I'm not accomplishing, you know, like little things like just taking the family camping, to getting on a diet, to just not procrastinating on little tiny things that are just projects that I could get done and be over with. And I see myself from the outside perspective, because people don't realize how busy your life is and how busy it's been from kindergarten until now. Like you haven't had a moment's rest. You think you do, but you get home and like kids are yelling something. And you have Netflix on and you're on your laptop and the radio was on in your car and you're seeing all this input around and watching out for the red light and making sure that guy's not going to run into you and you've got your turn signal on and what's going to be for dinner. And I still have to go to the grocery store, and it just goes and goes and goes and goes. Then you fall asleep and you wake up and it just starts again. You start your day with a loud alarm noise, get in the shower, and there's just, it's constant.
When I think you don't realize, even when you're sleeping, you're still getting input. You know what I mean? When you're asleep in your bed,
right.
you're still receiving sound. Yeah. You're still feeling something. You're still, you know, you wake up and toss and turn, and I sleep very lightly. So I hear, even if I don't wake up and move, I hear, you know, somebody move, or I hear, you know, the person next to me, you know, shimmer the sheets or something, you know,
shimmer the sheets on your pillow.
Why do you keep,
I don't know, man. I'm just making an observation. I'm not talking crap. Shimmer your sheets, wag your foot on your pillow.
Yeah. Welcome to my life.
All right.
Yeah, you hear all those things. And I think that on an everyday basis, we don't realize that we do that. You know, it's just natural.
Well, not, you know, and we got cell phones, technology is progressing. So we get more input. We do more. We're more productive people in a day.
Yeah.
You know, we do more. So I think taking time to get in the tank and kind of like let go.
Yeah.
And just
I don't think we were made to do that though. You know, like you woke up and waited for the buffalo to go by and it was just crickets and sticks and a breeze.
Well, and that's why you freak out when you get in. You don't freak out, but that's why your mind starts trying to find something tangible, because you're not used to it. You were born, from the day you were born, it's been noisy. You know, you've always heard noise, regardless whether you hear it or not, your brain's taking it in.
Some people associate the tank with being back in the womb.
Yeah,
I did feel that. I was gonna mention that. There was a point where I was in there and I was kind of cradling. I was still at the point where I'm looking for comfort, and I finally would kind of get into that mode. And I'm like, I felt surrounded by water. Mm-hmm. Like I felt the top of me was in water. I could still breathe, and then I knew I was in water, and it felt like I was thinking to myself, like, I wonder if this is what a baby feels like, because there is no, like, if you did hear something or something boomed or something, or your breath, like that's all you could hear.
Right.
And if you did hear something that came through the walls, it was a muffle. You know what I mean? It was a really low tone and you couldn't really get what it was. Like, is that what a baby feels like? Is that?
I had that same thought. Yeah. I had like a 15 second panic attack where I thought, because I was like, man, this is 2 hours. I was like, man, I did this for 9 months. That's what happened. And I was like, oh God, like I panicked for a second, like 9 months. And I was like, I'm not in here for 9 months.
And I think, And I think that's like when like I would drift a certain way and like my toe would touch something and I would get that super sensation. And that's what made me jump. And I was like, man, I wonder if that's like when you punch a baby in the belly, you know, like, yeah, and then baby. They punch back, you know, like, I wonder if that's
punch
that
the
sensation.
Baby in the belly. When yeah. do you punch a baby in the belly?
When you're trying
you
know. To get rid of it?
Yeah.
Oh, I think man. I'm going to design my next float tank to be like a canal where you have to exit through like a small opening.
Nice.
It's like a small world, yeah. but for floating, like it just all of a sudden gets light. And
it's
you're
the
like,
whole birthing process yeah. all over. Yeah.
When I went in there, because I know like
what's
a lot of the stuff.
What's the Mark Summers show? I have to know.
The Mark Summers show.
What's his name?
The
from?
Food Network?
No. The one back in the day.
Double
where
Dare.
Slime. Double Dare. Yeah. Double Dare. That's a Double Dare ride, but a little more graphic yeah. for sure.
I would say that the cylindrical tanks would really be awesome. Like that would be when I was actually in the tank, I was actually thinking about taking over your business and making round tanks.
I'd love you to. So from your experience, is there anything that you think would make floating a better experience? Is there anything that your mind?
For me, the only thing, and I don't know how you can combat this because you have to have the air be that same temperature. But I mean, when I opened that door, like it was a long time of me I need to open this fucking door. Like I did too.
Yeah. I was the same way.
It was the thing that kept taking me out of the experience. I was just like,
okay.
And I mean, for a little bit, I got a little bit of salt water kind of near my eye and that kind of took nothing you can do about that. But no, like that was one thing that took me out of the experience and that passed and I would think past it and not care.
I have to say the breathing thing, you get over it. Not that I'm a pro, but I've done it 5 times. But in the beginning, that breathing thing was a big problem for me and it wasn't a problem for me yesterday.
Maybe you do, but I mean that was the thing I could not, and it took a long time before I felt that way. I
because
mean,
now you know you survived it. I think is why, like, you remember last time
I wasn't panicking. Yeah. There was no worry. I was just like, I am not going to be able to relax and get into this until I breathe a couple of clean. I could. That's all I could think about was breathing clean air. I could, and I kept trying to count. I kept trying to meditate. All I could think about was fresh air. Fuck it. I'm just going to open the door, breathe some fresh air, and go back into it.
You know? On that note, is the salt in the air good for you? Like breathing it in.
There's no salt in the air, but we can adjust the airflow. We can increase it. What it'll do is it'll make a bigger difference between the
water and the air. Yeah.
Which you don't want to do. I mean,
for you, everybody's different.
So if it makes you more comfortable, it might be more positive ultimately. Right. Yeah. If that's more of a
custom experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could say that. Like, if you could somehow do like more of a custom experience,
we can.
Yeah. So I mean,
some people come in and they want it warmer. You know, it'll be 97 degrees, and some people will say it's cold, and some people will say it's warm.
Yeah.
And then the people that come weekly, because we have people that come weekly,
they know what they want.
Yeah, they ask for it. They're like, you know, I like the tank at 98. Degrees and I like the fan on number 2 instead of number 1.
Right.
So
right.
Like you were on a number 1.
Oh, see,
one.
Like I didn't know you could do that. So yeah, that's pretty 10, awesome.
We do 10 air changes within an hour. Mm-hmm. So you know,
I wondered that. Yeah.
Yeah, 10's the magical number. You don't want to go below 10, but we can definitely increase it for you next time.
That's good. So you go number 2. That's probably what I would do.
Yeah, I think I would do that too. And I think I did feel like I got a little cold sometimes. So like the temperature, the temperature would change and I could honestly feel when the heaters came on, you know, I would feel it on my arms or coming in. Like you said, I didn't know that it did that, went into the center and then down.
Right.
I could actually feel it doing that. That's why I was like using it as a timer. I'm like, I wonder if there's a timer or something.
What would happen if the heater didn't, would it be that different? Wouldn't your body just acclimate if the heater didn't kick on? Cause I have to say, and it's not a criticism, but it was a distraction when the heater kicked on. It was very apparent that it came on and it was really warm to my left side. I hadn't been in that tank and I don't know if it's different per tank.
No, that, your tank has 2 heaters,
right?
So they should heat equally.
I only felt it on my left side. It was really, really apparent. And I even
that's because you only had feeling on the left side of your body.
You were in tank C in the back room.
Yeah.
And no, that only has myself. 1 heater.
Oh, okay.
So that's why.
And I kept distancing myself from that side because I was like, man, it's a little bit of a distraction. But what would happen? I mean, in a 2-hour period, would the water temperature drop so greatly if I never opened the door that it would?
No, because the temperature would rise. I mean, temperature rises. So you would get layers of liquid.
Right.
So in 10 inches, you know, inch like 9 and 10 would be really warm, and right. inch 1 and 2 would be slightly cooler. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's what would happen.
Well, and when it might not matter really then for the experience.
No.
It depends on your body, I think, because I could feel like I would literally put my hand under my back right. and it would be
cooler.
Cool. Right. Yeah, almost cold. Like it was really like, man, I hope the heaters kick on. You know, like, so I think it's just because everybody's body temperature runs different.
Right.
Like you said, if you now knowing that I can get the fan on too, and I could have it at 98 instead of 97, like that might be make the difference for me to be able to block those yeah, things out.
Now you're the burrito with no onions asshole that's coming by asking for specifics. Right. I don't know if that's
so some people that, right. that didn't get the some people that didn't get the option
right.
to control their environment is you know, the Russians actually use this as a way to interrogate spies and prisoners. Is they would inoculate them, put them in a tank and lock the door in a big area. And then they would basically say they were God, and that those prisoners
by inoculate, like they gave them some kind of hallucinogenic something, or they injected them with something.
They put them out completely out. So they didn't know they were in the tank. So okay. they just woke up in a tank.
Floating. Oh God.
Were no, they floating? Was it like the same type
same
of thing?
Same thing. Floating, no light, no sound. I mean, I'm sure they didn't have earplugs in, but it was sound free. And then they would interrogate them. They'd say basically that they had died, and this is God, and they have their
oh my
this is
God.
Their chance.
That's
to,
awesome.
That's this is, crazy.
Yeah, this is their chance to
come free,
come clean.
Yeah.
on what they did.
Had you not heard this story or ever done that, can you imagine going to bed and yeah. waking up?
I want to say that was a professional segue into the Russian interrogation.
That was.
Too.
Yeah,
it was. Very good. And I would have to imagine they also probably hit him with a dose of some psychotropics just to make him way more. Trippy and
they actually saw the light.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
as soon as God started talking, it was just, you know.
And I mean, on a less sinister note, I know there were a lot of experiments done with it in Sweden, in Karlstad, at a place called the Human Performance Laboratory, and they did a study over 140 people who suffered from everything from fibromyalgia to depression and stress-induced pain. Those were the three categories that they looked at. And at the end of it, they had them go for 12 sessions. They didn't say how frequent the sessions were, but at the end of the 12 sessions, they said that 23% reported a complete absence of pain, and that 56% reported a notable lack in the pain just in daily life from going yeah. to 12 regular sessions. And they also, when they were like tracking cortisol and stress hormone levels, they said that for experienced floaters, based on this study, people who did it all the time and knew what they were doing, they said that a 2-hour float session had the same equivalent of reduction in stress chemicals as an extended vacation.
Oh, wow.
For a normal person.
And actually, usually when you go on vacation, you're usually more tired when you come back.
I was just going to say that. I get more stress on vacation.
Yeah. So you're more tired when you're, you know, trying to go back to work, you know, the following day that you come back from your vacation because you've done so much. So this is actually, like I said, the pain, I probably have the equivalent of pain that people take pain pills for. I mean, I have a high pain tolerance, and I probably could be on disability with the pain that I have just because of what I've done in my life, broken so many bones, the herniations in my back and stuff. And I don't take any medicine besides some ibuprofen. And I do get pains that shoot from my back into my chest, up my neck, that feels like I'm on fire from the inside. So my pain is very significant, and I feel it. And today, I did feel a little sore, like maybe from the masseuse, like you said, like kind of that feeling, you know, after you get done with the masseuse, like you or the chiropractor, you feel a little soreness. But today I feel really good. I woke up this morning, kind of like before my biological clock kicked in, you know, and I really feel good today. Like I feel energized. I don't feel tired.
And more than anything, I never Never. I don't care if I take sleeping pills. I don't care what I do to go to sleep. I don't sleep and stay asleep all night long. I wake up every hour, and sometimes
I
fall
like a baby.
Sometimes, yeah, I do sleep. Normally I sleep like a baby. I usually wake up every hour, maybe every 2 hours. Sometimes I fall right back asleep. Sometimes it takes me a long time. Sometimes I don't fall back asleep at all. But last night I probably woke up every 3 hours and I immediately fell back. Like, I woke up every 3 hours, saw what time it was, and was just immediately back to sleep.
That's
and
good.
that is a miraculous, yeah. Like, that, if I could put that in a bottle, like, I would make a lot of money from Insomniacs, because that is not how I sleep. And like, I woke up this morning and I was like, oh, I should probably get up early and I'll do some writing and get some stuff done because I feel so well rested. But then conversely, I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to sleep for one more hour because I'm really sleeping. I just kept sleeping because I wanted to keep getting really good sleep.
You think those effects wear off over time, like as you get better at it?
Well, usually, like for me, then an hour or two, I can get the visual effects.
Yeah.
I mean, I can feel relaxed all day. Just, I think everybody's different.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think he was saying once you do it all the time, do those after effects start to diminish, or do you still keep feeling that?
I still keep feeling it.
So nice. It's not like heroin. You don't need more of it. Right. You just keep doing it.
I need 6 hours. Yeah. Next week it'll be 7.
Yeah. Unfortunately, for a business model, it would be really nice.
But right.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, what would it take? Cause I know you fabricated and designed those tanks to make a smaller, like, residential style unit with like less filtration that didn't have to be. I don't know if there's regulations in place for that. Like, if you built your own.
I've been thinking about that. I've been having a few people approach me about franchising.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that I have time for. I would need help with a partner probably to make that happen.
Right.
Because right now my life is just too complicated. I can basically keep what I have going in place. It would be easy to do. I have engineers at my disposal at my other job to make drawings. And
do you think the airflow would be a factor? I know a lot of those other tanks are like pods and they're lay down and they have those smaller ones where it's closer to where you're at. Do you think the environment's going to be much different, or you just increase the airflow somehow?
Well, the thing with the personal tanks is you have to design them in a way that they can ship and people can put them in their house and install them. So if you build them too big, then they can't put them in their house, and people don't like to assemble things in lots of little pieces. So
yeah. Nobody has like unless you're rich, of course, you don't have just a giant room.
And some
just
people set are. Up.
Yeah. Some people have it. I know. Thanks for reminding me. I'm not one of those.
Yeah. But, it would have to almost be like clamshell or something that bolts on from the top, like two pieces.
Yeah. They have one of those that you can get for $25,000 or so. It doesn't quite have the filtration that's needed.
$25,000. Yeah. See, it's just not going to happen.
It's more like a
spa.
Well,
if it's just you getting into your own,
I've seen some dudes build it, but the problem is, like, even if you, man, if you didn't do it right, like, I don't know, you could suffocate. Yeah. Like, if you don't have the airflow right, or you could shock yourself, or
for sure.
Yeah. There's all kinds of, and you're not going to be able to afford that filtration. It's going to have chlorine in it or something. And just the salt cost $1,000.
Well, just start like Tesla or like Elon Musk and start with the high end, so you get the rich people.
That's right.
Yeah.
And worry about the smalls when you get there, you know.
So in the meantime, if you like floating and you're thinking about building your own tank, don't just go to Salt 7.
Yep. Yeah. If you're local.
Yeah.
So right. And if you're not local, then drive to Bakersfield and go to Salt 7.
It's I think it's the biggest in California. I haven't confirmed that, but as far as I know, nobody has a room bigger than 10 feet by 7 feet by 6 feet. So if there's people in other areas that want to try and experience a bigger tank, you know.
I've seen some things where there were float rooms, but I don't know where they're actually located, but there is like it looks like a bedroom basically. And you step into, you know, 10 inches of water that's across the whole thing. Yeah.
You guys got more you want to talk about, or should we do some shout-outs?
Yeah, I was gonna let them know where they could go. If you're in town, if you're in Bakersfield, California, the address is 1713 20th Street. It's across from the Fox Theater. Pretty easy to find if you know the downtown area. You can find them on it's www.salt7.com, and 7 is the number 7, EVEN. So salt7EVEN.com. Go there. There's frequently asked questions. There's pricing. You can find out their hours and actually give them a phone call if you have any other questions. I'm sure he'd be honored to answer them.
So. And when we were on a break, Dirk announced that we should say that anyone who shows up at Salt 7 and announces that they went there because they listened to this episode, he will give them a free t-shirt. So if you want a free Salt 7 t-shirt and you want a mind-blowing experience, go to Salt 7. If you're listening to this and you're not in Bakersfield, it sucks for you.
Well, people travel to Venice, and I would say this is a couple hours
for sure. So if you don't, it's worth a drive.
If you do, I mean, if you live in another, if you live in a large city and you're listening to this, odds are there's a float center in that city.
It's not quite as good. You can go there,
but it's definitely worth doing some research and finding where the nearest one is because it's a really cool experience. Yeah. And I do recommend that you do it. Do you want to shout out our sponsors, Brent?
Yeah, we need to thank El Yucateco Hot Sauce. We're actually going to go to, what's that gaming convention? Is that still happening? Are we going to do that?
Oh, it's a thing for Relay for Life. It's Team Geek. We'll be at the convention center on the 12th. Is that right?
And the reason I brought that, Saturday. Yeah, I think it's March 12th or something. Yeah. Yep. And the reason I brought that up is because El Yucateco is so cool. They're sending us a giant, I assume it's like a giant 6 foot tall, like hot sauce bottle or something. Like they said, they're sending me a standee. I looked up what standee was and it's a giant stand up promotional
cardboard
sign. So I'm a hot sauce nerd. I'm pretty excited about that. It's either going to go in my bedroom or right here. If you guys make me do that.
It's the bedroom probably. It's not standing in a podcast studio.
But we need to also thank That Beard Stuff for beard balm and beard oil and all that great stuff. If you're here locally, you can get it at lots of barber shops and Wolf Creek Tattoo I know has it, but they do have an Etsy store as well, so just look up That Beard Stuff. Digital Creations for all of our keychains and coffee mugs and cool swag that she gives us over there. And who am I forgetting? Yucateco Beard Stuff. And Ruger Guns for giving that stuff. If you're a manly man and you have Ruger Guns and I can justify sending some of this stuff to you, let us know what's up. We'll come up with something. I just don't want to hand this off to the wrong person that's just going to like throw it on their nightstand or something if you don't care about guns. But we got some cool stuff. We have some decals and license plates and license
really
plate frames,
cool
and
bags,
embroidered bags. Yeah, like so some cool stuff from Ruger. Thank you to them for sending us that. And we're going to try to do some cool stuff for them.
So is that it?
I want to challenge. I know you guys are going to chicken out probably, but I at least have to make Dirk do it. There's a jelly bean right here that could be one of two flavors. So we're going to do jelly bean roulette because I'm not scared. But
what color is yours?
Mine. White.
Just so you feel better. White? So what's his going to be?
White is going to be either buttered popcorn or coconut or baby wipes.
Okay. Oof. I don't know what mine.
What color is yours?
Is there one that looks like peach?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That might be what Brad got last time. Yeah. If it's peach, I don't think that's peach though.
Is it speckled?
I think Dave's either it's either buttered popcorn or rotten egg.
Oh, great. So I fucking lose either way.
Or it could be like what mine is caramel corn or moldy cheese.
Mine's red with dark red.
So yours is either chocolate pudding or I won't even tell you. You tell me what it is when you eat it. Okay?
Shit.
Do you want to know what the consequence is? I'm afraid you won't eat it. It's either chocolate pudding or canned dog food.
Oh, that's geez. Better than
let's,
the puke,
let's
though.
Do it. Let's
the
do
puke
it.
Was horrible, so let's I already it. Know what it's going right, to be.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, it's dog food.
Coconut.
Oh, my God.
I'm good. Coconut.
I have no fucking idea, but it's not good.
I guess I got moldy cheese, but...
Oh, you like moldy cheese, though. You eat them chips from Rex. Christ. We already know that.
It's not caramel corn. It tastes like jalapenos. I guess it's old cheese.
That box is... So did you get one that's good?
Yeah. He's the first one to get a real jelly bean, though.
Oh, that's awful. Hold okay, on. Just say your shit so we can get out of here, Brad.
Hold on a second. Motherfucker. Hold on.
He's rushing for a glass of Bowen's whiskey.
I'm going to eat some Rex Smith what chips wish they could be to get rid of this.
Okay. Ooh, wrap this up so it doesn't descend into people crunching into microphones.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Sofa King podcast. You can go to sofakingpodcast.com and listen. If you're on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, you can get us, which you're probably already listening, so you don't need to know that. I am at Sofa King Brad, Sofa King David, and Sofa King Brent on Instagram. You can get us there. Sofa King podcast on Instagram. Check us out. Follow us. Like us on Facebook. All that bullshit.
And check out Salt 7.
Salt 7. Go float and lose your mind and don't be a retard.